Welcome back into the show. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. And to avoid starting the second hour off like we did the first hour, we're bringing some civility to the program here. We've got UNC head basketball coach Steve Smiley on the program. Coach, save us, man. It's been a wacky Thursday, yeah, man. So we're looking forward to catching up with you.
That's okay, Brady. That's okay, man. How are things going for you?
It's good. Somehow we got on a segment in the first hour of just figuring out, you know, famous people with the last name of Madison. So I have no idea how we got there. We got there somehow, and that's how we started the show.
Who'd you come up with? Like Billy Madison?
Yep, Billy Madison was number one. Coach, this is why we're friends. This is why we're friends, because that was the first thing I thought of, and we just had people going off on that side for a while. So it was fun. I did get a text related to your side of things. It was like, I know Coach's kid is Madden. That's close to Madison. So there we go.
Oh, true.
Look what
true.
We're doing here,
close.
Man. Full circle.
Even some people think his name is Madison. So, it's like the football game. It's like John Madden. I get it. I get it, man, for sure.
So we're getting close there. Coach, speaking of getting close, man, we are we got an exhibition game coming up at the end of this month. So we get the regular season starting up in November, but you're going up against Midland on October 27th, next Friday night.
Next Friday. That's right.
You guys ready to rock and roll?
Yeah, we're excited. I mean, you know, and we actually haven't had an exhibition here, and I have to look back to maybe 3 or 4 years, because typically, so what you get is you get 2 dates before the games begin. Now you can choose one of two things: you can go exhibition games, or you can go what's called these secret scrimmages. So if you do the math, we have one exhibition, we have one secret scrimmage coming up, but we usually in the past few years have done 2 secret scrimmages, and we just felt like this year that doing an exhibition game, getting underneath, the lights and playing in the arena, we thought that was good. We got a couple games like that coming up early in the season. It just, we traveled so much early on last year, you know, Houston, Baylor, all this different stuff. It's like, hey, let's try to start this off, you know, in Greeley at UNC. And I know we're excited about it. So, yeah, next Friday night, play Midland out of Nebraska. So we're excited to kind of get that thing going.
Well, and what I'm curious, you know, as we get into the new year, new season and all that, especially with a lot of new faces, Coach, first thing I'm always thinking about is what does that starting lineup look like? And I know those are still some items you're sorting through as we get closer to that first, at least that first exhibition game.
Yeah, it really is. And I think we'll use that exhibition game and even the secret scrims coming up. I think we'll use those opportunities. And then even probably the first couple games of the year, to be honest with you, to keep kind of refining what we're going to do. I mean, I think we got a pretty good idea. If we were to jump off today, we're going to have to start somebody, right? So we'd have to go with 5 guys. But I do think that it's making more and more sense as we get closer to the season. I think the competition level on our team is really, really good, and I think the depth is really good. What we need to figure out is, like, okay, how do we eventually kind of, you know, rate this out where it's like, look, here's our starting five, here's our 9 guys. I think we can play up to 9 guys. 10 gets extremely hard the way that we want to play. But, you know, we've had years where it's like 7 or 8. I want to get it out tonight because I think our depth, you know, deserves that. And I think the best version of ourselves is a lot of guys playing minutes. And so, yeah, who knows the starting lineup yet, but we're getting closer to it. Obviously, you got, you know, returners like Riley and Brock that, you know, probably have a great chance to do that. And then, you know, a lot of our new guys are transfers that are going to create some big roles for sure. So,
Coach, talk to us about St. Thomas. That's the guy, I think, when I talk to folks, we're hearing a lot about him more and more. I know you and I have had conversations, but it just seems like this guy might be pretty darn good.
He's good, man. He's a talented kid. Always been a talented kid, and talented also in the way that he's super skilled. You know, a lot of perceived talented kids, like, well, they're talented, they don't shoot it well enough for this or that. Like, that's not Saint. Like, he can shoot it. He can one thing that's really undervalued until people see him play is, like, he can really pass it. So not only is it about him scoring, he really connects the dots with his teammates. And so I think he's a guy that, you know, they enjoy playing with because he gets guys open looks and things like that. And then he brings a certain edge and toughness and mentality that I think is good for us. I mean, I think that, you know, we need to be a little bit tougher, and I think that he certainly helps us in that direction. But he's a guy that's going to be a big wing, play some 3, play some 4, you kind of move him around, but a big kid that can really do a lot outside, inside, shoot 3s, do a lot of everything.
UNC head basketball coach Steve Smiley joining us. And coach, this will be interesting because it just seemed like for the longest time, and of course you add the COVID year in, we've had names like Matt Johnson and Dalen Kuntz on this team and Bodie Hume. I mean, just thinking of these guys, and with COVID, you had the extra year and all that. So replacing those guys, and not just on the floor, but as leaders of your program. I mean, and I know Bodie was gone the year before that, but still, those were those foundational pieces that when you took over as the head coach, those guys were there.
Yeah. And I think, you know, starting with that, the internal leadership of our returners has been unbelievable. You know, to name a few, and we have eight of them, but I mean, whether it's Connor Creech or Riley Abercrombie, Theo Hughes, Jalen Page, who hasn't had a chance to play a ton, but just has been around it for a long time, Zach Block. And then we got our three younger guys with, you know, Brock, Langston, and Juju. Like, those eight dudes, even though, and, you know, let's call it what it is. I mean, we got, you know, ranked really low in the preseason polls, which I could care less about. But a lot of that is that, you know, we don't have a lot of returning firepower, per se. And that's fine. But those guys culturally have done such a great job to keep this thing going the way that we want it to look. And then you add in, you know, seven new guys. Five of those new guys are transfers. And we're going to look a lot different. You don't have Matt. You don't have Dalen. You don't have Bodie. You don't have guys like that. And that's okay. That's the downside of college sports is there's an expiration date on these kids.
Yeah.
You know, but I tell you, like, this team really is blended together well. I'm very intrigued and curious to see what we look like. But I'm very, you know, optimistic, quietly optimistic about it right now.
Yeah, and that is the tough part is you know, you, at one point you looked back and said, wow, Matt Johnson, Dalen Kuntz, Bodie, these guys are all young guys. They're going to grow up through this program, and it's going to be great for several years. And then when they're gone, you know, again, bringing in some of these other guys that you're talking about, that's why it's so important. And that's why, Coach, I don't know when you're able to sleep, rest, relax ever, because it is an ongoing process to continue to have those coffers filled, trying to find the next couple of players to lead your program.
Yeah, you know, you used to have a little bit of time in May and a little bit of time in August, and you can take that May window and just throw it away, because now with the portal and stuff, as opposed to maybe signing like one or two guys, you might have to sign three, four, five guys in the spring, which is a lot. And so, yeah, May's done. Now, August, you know, you're through your summer workouts. Theoretically, your roster's built. Maybe you get a little bit of time when recruiting's done before the guys come back. But, you know, I was actually meeting with a student today that she actually wants to get into college coaching. She's got like 2 years left at UNC, and she just wanted to kind of pick my brain about it. And I said, look, you have to understand college coaching. It is 12 months a year. It is, you know, people on the outside don't get it, but like it never ends. And that's kind of what you're saying, Brady. Like, it never ends. And then if you don't love it, it would be miserable. But if you love it, it's constant enjoyment, right?
But there's so many different things, and it's a lot of it's been there for a long time that even the common people don't really look at, like talking to donors of the program and meeting and doing all these things. But nowadays, especially with the transfer portal, with NIL stuff, I mean, there's all these different avenues now where you're constantly working, where you weren't messing with NIL 2 years ago. Now I know UNC is looking into that and is growing that side of what they're going to be doing, and some exciting news coming out. That was stuff that wasn't even on the schedule for you. Transfer portal, we knew transfers existed, but not like this. So all these new items just added to the 12 months out of the year where you're working. So that's why it's interesting.
Well, and I think, you know, when I got this job, it was basically during COVID. That's when Coach Leonard, you know, got the job in Wyoming and left, and I got lucky enough to get the job here, and it's like, this is going to be the hardest year ever because it's COVID. And it probably was right, because it was really confusing, and testing three times a week, and, you know, shutdowns, and it was a mess, there's no doubt. But the crazy thing is, like, that was probably nothing compared to what it is now with the portal and the NIL and all this different stuff. And it's just a constantly change. The rules are changing all the time. So, you know, the portal window changed from here to here, and NIL, just everything keeps changing. And so you're kind of grasping at it, trying to help out whatever it is. But you're right. It's added on so many more layers of complexity to an already very complex job. But again, you got to do the best job you can. You know, I'm very lucky to have a great staff that really helps out, the administration. And we're just going through it, man, just trying to figure it out. But at the end of the day, you do all of it so that you can get to that time where you get to practice, and then eventually you get that time where you get to play games, and it's still fully worth it.
UNC head basketball coach Steve Smiley joining us. Coach, let's look at that schedule. We talked about the exhibition game Monday, November 6th. I love the schedule, too, the non-con schedule, because there's a lot of Colorado teams there. Colorado College on Monday, November 6th. Colorado State's coming to town November 14th. Yep. I'm sure, I mean, you guys had their number last year. And honestly, the year before that, the Roddy year with CSU, You guys had Colorado State on the ropes, certainly, and that, of course, was the year the Rams went dancing. So you have been a great opponent for the Rams. I don't know if the Rams are going to be too eager to come down here to Greeley, Coach.
Yeah, that game 2 years ago was an awesome game. And, yeah, we had a big lead in the second half and, you know, just couldn't quite hold on. And I remember, you know, Coor John Cooch, our big guy, really did a good job of you know, trying to limit Roddy. Bodie had a phenomenal game. I think he had like 30 points. And then at the end of the game, Isaiah Stevens for them, he made 2, 3, 4 plays in a row that just really got them back over the top. And then last year's game was about the same thing. It was just an awesome game, high-level game. And so I would expect nothing less here. You know, I think it's going to be – they're probably like us, you know, where you know, they got a bunch of new guys. They got some returns, obviously Stevens being the main one, but a bunch of good players back. But they need their new guys, whether it's Joel Scott or Javante or Nico, they need those guys to be good, right? So I think we're all kind of going through it saying, well, how does this all kind of piece together and fit together? That's the biggest question. But, that's going to be a really fun game. I know our community is going to be really excited to get the Rams over. It doesn't happen very often. It's probably been 10, 15 years since they've been here. So I know we're excited to get them here and you know, fire a shot and see what happens.
Well, and then you fast forward into December when you start to kind of wrap up the non-con schedule. We know you got a trip to Boulder, which won't be too far away for you guys, going up against CU and Tad Boyle's crew there. And then Air Force a few days after that. So I love the fact that we're going to get all these Colorado teams going up against each other, because I think that that's kind of how we build up basketball in the state.
Well, and then in January we had Denver coming back up here.
Yeah, so
we actually
that's
have,
right.
Yeah, we have all four Colorado Division I schools that we're playing, two at home, two on the road. And I think that's awesome, and hopefully we can keep that going. The DU one was one of the games in the new Big Sky Summit Challenge. But my hope is that even if we're not selected to play against each other in that challenge, that we can kind of get going on an every year basis. Regardless, it just makes sense, you know, similar leagues, levels, locations, things like that. And then, yeah, we're just going to try to keep it going. But to have, I think it's the first year we've had all four Colorado Division I schools, and that's an exciting thing for sure.
No, I think it is. I think it's awesome. I know you got some tournament play and things like that too with the Cancun Challenge November 18th. I put in my request to go with you guys on that trip, so just put it out there.
Get your credentials out there, man. We'll figure out a way.
I can fill up water bottles, Coach. I'm pretty good at that. Yeah. I can help out. Anything you need.
For sure. So, yeah, that sounds good.
Well, Coach, I'm excited for this season, man, to see what this new team kind of looks like. Some guys I'm really excited. I put stars next to guys, you know, like a Brock Wisney. I'm really pumped to see what he does in this next year. And Riley Abercrombie didn't finish the way with injuries and such the way he wanted to. I'm excited to see what he can do. And then Theo Hughes, how just look at that guy. And he's just so overpowering. I mean, he's just a monster. So let's see if he can put that together all the way through this season. I'm excited for that.
Yeah, for sure. Now, we have a lot of guys that I think have a lot to prove and are excited about having the opportunity to get a bigger role this year. And you know, that obviously includes those returning guys. And I'm just excited. You know, we've been really together now about 15, 16 weeks going back to June 1st. And you just get to that point where you're like, okay, you know, you can study for the test. But at some point, you got to take the test. And we're at that phase now where it's time to take the test. So we're excited for sure.
First test, October 27th, next Friday against Midland. I'm going to have some tickets to give away too. Coach, appreciate you as always. Love following your program. You're one of the good ones, man. And we'll just stay in touch. We'll talk to you very soon.
Sounds good, Brady. Thank you.
All right, UNC head coach Steve Smiley. And it looks like, Angel, I have a 4-pack of tickets right now. To give away, what I need from you, Angel, I need their name and then their email. That's what I need. I got to send it over because it'll be at will call. So I'm giving a 4-pack of tickets away, and take it from Angel. You're going to want to see this St. Thomas dude in person. He's good. He's going to be a player.
He's very good. He's got a great, just personality. He's very humble in his basketball journey. He's got a couple of state championships in high school. He's transferred to a couple of different schools. But from when I talk to him, he feels very comfortable here at UNC, and I'm very excited to see these new transfers and how they integrate with some of the returners.
Yeah, there should be good players on this team. We'll see if they can put it all together throughout the course of this season. But I got a four-pack of tickets for you right now. Let's go caller number seven. Let's go caller number seven on the First Advantage text line or hotline, 888 or 970. Way off. 970-353-1310. You get a four-pack of tickets to go see UNC take on Midland next Friday night at 6 o'clock, 970-353-1310. Caller number seven will get a four-pack of tickets to go check out UNC and Midland next Friday night. 1221 the time. Let's take a quick break. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Want high school football? You've come to the right place. High school football on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Jeff Linder, head men's basketball coach of the University of Wyoming Cowboys, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
This is a big one.
Now, this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
Now, I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to covering.
Big story of the day coming in here. Let's rock and roll. Michigan. NCAA is investigating the number two Michigan Wolverines football program amid allegations of sign stealing, the school announced this morning. This is from Michigan. The university is fully cooperating with the Big Ten and NCAA. At the University of Michigan, we are committed to the highest ethical and integrity standards for all members of our community. But your coach was suspended for four games.
I knew they were being too quiet this year.
What was Harbaugh's deal, though? His was like a...
He bought a cheeseburger.
That's stupid that he got suspended for that. That's stupid.
You got to report it. You can do it. You just have to report it. He didn't want to do that.
That's stupid still. You bought him a cheeseburger.
I agree. It's
you bought
stupid,
him a cheeseburger.
It's the rules. If you let him get away with a cheeseburger, who's to say get away with a car?
Hopefully it was a good cheeseburger.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's no cheap cheeseburgers anymore. Like $2.50 for just a patty and some cheese.
That's why you go to Cable's Pub and Grill, dude.
How about
Burger
that?
Madness. Yeah, I got you covered. Cable's Pub and Grill will get you best burgers in town.
Now, if he bought
discount price.
His player a Cable's burger,
yeah,
he didn't have to report it.
Probably not.
They know, oh, that's Cable.
Oh, it's freaking Cable. Obviously.
I'd be upset if you didn't buy them.
Can't
burger.
Turn down Cables. What do you think about this? University of Michigan and the Big Ten were both notified by the NCAA of the investigation Wednesday. Conference said it had notified the Wolverines' future opponents. So, don't, watch out. They're stealing your signs, man. This is why college coaches are so damn secretive and freak out about everything.
Yep.
It's because... In college especially, you have all those signs, the goofy signs they do, and it's Billy Bob's back there covering them up with flags
you
and blankets.
Two backup quarterbacks doing charades on
oh
the sideline.
Oh, my gosh. How do you remember all that stuff?
I don't think you have to remember all of it.
Most of it's just...
The quarterback does, because he has to put people in the right spots, but O-lineman will see two hand signals and be like, okay, I got
it. But how do you, as a quarterback, remember all that stuff? Like, that is... Plus... Be able to play and run around and make plays happen. Call that play back. Like, that's insane. They allegedly had people attending games of future opponents, as well as possible college football playoff opponents, to gather information on signs used to call plays on offense and defense. Now, Angel, I've wondered my entire life why you wouldn't simply just pay a random person. Now, again, it's illegal. But, I mean, what's to keep them from doing it, I guess, if they get caught? Pay a random student or a person to just go and watch the coaches the entire time. And you're going to get caught. Yeah, I'm not condoning it. I'm just saying, what's to keep them from doing that? Like, they're so secretive with their signs, yet...
To think that these coaches are keeping the same signals and same play calls week to week... Sure, the majority of them are the same, but they will change it up ever so slightly. And like, hey, that last week, this signal meant this, but actually it's going to mean this week.
Well, yeah, and like when Peyton Manning did the Omaha thing. Omaha meant something different every time.
Mm-hmm.
Like it didn't, or every week at least.
Like
it,
your Little League coach giving you signs like, are you telling me to steal or stay here? I don't know what you're telling me.
They would have the same verbiage, but they would change what it meant to throw people off. I'd say it this way, or I'd say it this way, or I'd add four words after it or before it or in between. You know, it changed. But again, I have asked that. Like, what's to keep teams from sending guys to just games and then they're just watching the coaches? You know, they had somebody there. That's what it's believed right now, that they had people attending games of future opponents as well as possible college football playoff opponents to gather information on signs. If true, the number two Wolverines would have violated NCAA bylaw 11.6.1, which states off-campus in-person scouting of future opponents in the same season is prohibited. So it's illegal.
So were they like paying these people, or are these people interns, GAs, some random nutritionist guy that gets the smoothies? Hey, I need you to go to Michigan State this weekend.
This is when here's when it gets really crazy. U.S. Integrity, a Las Vegas firm that monitors the betting market, sent out an alert to its sportsbook clients regarding the Michigan controversy Thursday, ESPN confirmed. So what does that mean?
You're messing with my money.
If you bet on a Michigan game over
they
the
just
last
know
couple
that
years,
they may have some inside information.
Do you lose money? Do you get money back? Well, hey, that's why I lost. I bet on the opposing team, but they knew all of my team's signals. It was 87-3, and that's why they knew all my team. That's why CSU lost to Michigan last year because Harbaugh and company stole all of Jay Norvell's brand new signs. It was his first game with the Rams. Were they scouting Nevada before that they know Jay Norvell was going to get the job, so they were out at Nevada games? Crazy, man. They're still facing four level two violations, which are considered less serious from those alleged violations. The ruling from the NCAA is not expected until 2024 because of the burger thing and recruiting violations during COVID-19, dead period, and then not cooperating with NCAA. So they're already still in hot water. So this...
Good. They've been kind of quiet this year. They're quietly undefeated, quietly a top five team. We need something's going on there.
Weird, man.
You're too good. So what are you doing?
What are you guys doing over there? Huh?
What doing you... signs?
Yeah.
Hanging on trash cans? Astros.
Is that what they did last night? Because they won.
I didn't watch
they
it.
Won. Texas kept making it interesting.
I mean, once you cheat, it's hard to really break that reputation.
Oh, every time I watch them, and I'm not like, I don't
you
hate
still
Houston.
Call Belichick Belichick.
Yeah, but it doesn't. I don't know
maybe
why. But
should go back to cheating.
The Belichick thing doesn't really.
Oh, filming practices?
I don't know.
Deflating footballs?
Well, that was more reasonable than not that he did, that Tom did that. They did not prove that. They did prove that he was filming practices, though. How do we know he was actually filming practice? Maybe he was, like, filming the facility. Like, whoa, they've got a neat water feature in the parking lot. That would be kind of cool.
Oh, yeah, it just so happens to be on the field.
Yeah. Look at how their benches are organized here. That's really cool.
Oh, look at the communication between the coaches there. What are they saying?
Look at the color of the field goal posts. We should do that for our facility. That's what they were doing. That's what any good manager does. Send them out to play. You know, I send Micah out regularly, different radio stations. Check out what they're doing. See what it looks like. Oh,
he keeps coming back.
They have, yeah. That's the plan is that he just kind of stays there. And
hopefully they get interested enough.
Yeah, that's the idea. 34 minutes after the hour, before a break, Nolan Arenado. How you feel about that? Didn't get his, is this the first time ever? They didn't get a gold glove?
Ever.
I know Tanner's pretty happy about that.
Yeah, it's just, you know, maybe you don't know how good you got it until it's gone.
Should have stayed here. Look, Ryan McMahon got a gold glove.
You know, no one's going to look at his trophy case with all those gold gloves and see that one missing and like, man, what happened?
Did Ryan McMahon get a gold glove or are we done with that? Is it official? It's all over? Whoever got a gold glove got a gold glove?
I think so.
Because I thought Ryan McMahon was in the mix for that, but honestly, I checked out of the Rockies in May.
In for it.
They had Tovar, Doyle, and then Ryan McMahon, they were at least in the mix, in consideration. They're a finalist or whatever.
Yeah, Ryan McMahon,
That's weird.
Ezekiel Tovar, Brenton Doyle.
Of course Tanner knew the answer to that question. Yeah. He's the only Rockies fan that even knows Ryan McMahon's still on the team.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
What, do they just give these out to anybody?
Is Doyle, like, he's been on the team for all season, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I haven't heard enough from him, I guess.
Well, who actually got the gold glove then? Or these are just finalists right now? We don't know yet. We just know that Nolan did not make.
He did not make.
So which players got a gold? Yeah, we don't know that.
The winners
will
be unveiled Sunday, November 5th. There are three finalists per league at each position, including the utility spot.
Tovar's pretty good. Doyle's good. I'm just shocked, but maybe Ryan McMahon, I just know on the offensive side he wasn't really. But defensively, maybe he was good.
The Rockies are always good defensively, most of the time.
They kind of have to be. Otherwise, you know, because they're not, they weren't scoring a lot of runs this year.
I don't think
so. I don't know, dude. I checked out of the Rockies 45 months ago.
Three seasons back?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah, great. Oh, cool. It's kind of like the All-Star thing. Yay.
You look great to all the other, next to all of our other Gold Gloves and Silver
don't
Slugger
care.
Awards.
Gold Glove only matters to me if your team is worth a damn. I don't care. You know how many Broncos I will care? Like, Patrick Surtain made first team All-Pro. I don't care. I don't. If you're not winning games, if you are winning games, great. Let's recognize you. But if you're not winning games, those awards, just don't care. Maybe that sounds a little harsh, but you're not good enough to win a lot of games. It just doesn't move the needle for me. Good for you. You're a finalist. Enjoy it. Hope you win it. But I'm not going to walk around town. Did you hear Patrick Surtain's all pro? Ryan McMahon, huh? That'll get it. That'll get it started. You guys lost over 100 games this year. That means absolutely nothing. 37 minutes after the hour, let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
I want to thank Renaissance Insurance Group in Windsor for being a huge sponsor of this program. Renaissance Insurance, they have my back. They have your back, too, Northern Colorado. They specialize in risk management, commercial, and personal insurance needs for all of Weld County, as well as Larimer County. They're working up and down the Front Range. They're your go-to for workers' compensation, farming operations. Don't lose what you've been working so hard for. Call my guy Ryan, my friend Ryan at Renaissance Insurance, 970-674-8825. Eastside Chris, here's a question. Brady, would you rather be on a CSU team at the bottom of the totem pole or playing Division II, playing for like School of Mines, Western State, i.e. Austin Eckler? Would I would rather be playing at the D1 FBS level. Even if we were the worst team. But again, you can say, well, yeah, if you go pull an Austin Eckler and you shine at a small school at like Western State, you get looks. But he wasn't drafted, was he? I don't think he was drafted. But I don't think CSU's bottom of the totem pole. I mean, they haven't been good over the last 4 or 5 years, but when Bobo was here, they were like a bowl team and stuff. I would rather be on the Division I FBS if I were playing, even if it were the bottom, even if we were the worst team, as opposed to the best team at D2. So, I hope that answers your question. Dixon says, somebody brought in the Dolly Madison thing, and we did, obviously, we had the answer to that one. Madison is still the key word of the day, Madison. So he goes, Dolly Madison donuts. You ever had those? guessing that's a donut brand. I don't know. And then, of course, Dixon changed the rules. Instead of doing the Madison thing, he said Dolly Madison Donuts, and now he's doing Dolly Parton. Furniture Dollies, Dollywood. So he's taken the Madison thing that we had, and somehow we have turned it to Dolly Parton. Somehow got there.
You wouldn't go on Sesame Street after Elmo says the letter of the day is T and say, you know what? W.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there might be some.
But you wouldn't.
That's what Dixon did.
Elmo's too nice. You wouldn't do that to Elmo.
No, I wouldn't. Yeah, I wouldn't do that. That'd throw people off. Are you saying I'm Elmo in this scenario? Or
I mean, if you want to be.
Are
you
Elmo?
Be any Sesame Street character, really.
Really? Is that a positive?
Yeah, it's up to you.
I feel like you're making me feel like Oscar the Grouch.
That's how you feel, man.
Which Sesame
Maybe
Street...
Maybe you want to feel like Snuffleupagus.
Which Sesame Street character would you be?
I think Grover's pretty cool.
I got to admit, I'm not as familiar with the street
not, like,
as I should
super
be.
Super Grover.
I didn't watch Sesame Street growing up.
No?
Wasn't a street guy.
Barney?
Nope. Little kid stuff? Like little kid stuff? I don't know.
Brady was out in the farm.
Yeah. Or watching games. Like sports was on the tube. And then I got older and I started watching other stuff. Like Ninja Turtles and all that stuff. But when I was little, it was like, baby doesn't make decisions. So we watch Broncos.
I was going to put some red animal on the TV and have him talk to you. I don't know that guy.
I'm not going to watch
His
this.
His best friend lives in a dumpster.
Blimpy is the one my kid liked. Blimpy. Just a like Pee Wee Herman kind of guy, just running all over the place. Yeah, look up Blimpy.
Oh, I've seen that guy.
Yeah. He doesn't like him anymore.
Is he a fan of Bluey?
Yeah.
Likes Bluey?
Likes Bluey. Bluey's not bad. A lot of bright colors in that one.
Yeah.
Paw Patrol's legit.
That is legit.
That's good stuff, dude. I can sit and watch that if he's not even in the room.
Chase is on the case.
He puts it on, you know, and I'm like, oh, we're going to watch Paw Patrol. Cool. Then he'll leave, and I'll be like,
I was going to leave this on for you.
And then he goes somewhere else, and I'm like, well, I'm not quitting now.
What are you doing here?
They just found this stranded kitten in the middle of the ocean. How the hell are they going to rescue that thing? So I've got to finish that. Freaking mayor and the mayor of the other town who's always trying to mess with them. I mean, but here's my question with Paw Patrol. Why not get dogs to do it, not puppies?
I was going to say, I think it's a message that, you know, you're never too young to be a good person.
Yeah, but they're heroes. Like, they're superheroes. They're in dangerous stuff all the time. Get adult animals.
Got to do it.
Well, get dogs to do it. They'd probably be better at it.
It's cheaper, you know.
They're stronger. And
child labor laws, tax reforms, all kinds of
stuff. And the kid that runs the Paw Patrol, yeah, it's a kid. Like, where are his parents? You never
see
them.
Where are his credentials?
He doesn't have any parents. It blows my
mind. That's the bigger question.
Yeah,
how did this kid end up in Dogtown?
With all this money and all this, like, does he work for the government or what? Because he has all these amazing things, science, scientific studies and technology, and he has all these things, and he trains these puppies to use all these crazy things. Where the hell is that money coming from? Yeah, dude.
Laundering?
I don't know.
Overseas business deals?
That's what I'm saying, man. It's just, those are the things I think about. My child leaves, and I'm like, wait a minute here. If I'm building a super-duper animal team, I'm going to get the real deal and not a bunch of puppies.
I think that's their intention, is to get the parents to start asking those big questions.
That's what I'm asking.
The kids, it's just fun for the flashy lights and stuff.
Yeah, they don't think about that. But I'm like, wait,
what are the real-world implications of a puppy dog stopping a crime?
I have Google this at some point. It'll blow your mind. We're watching Paw Patrol, and it's all fun, and nothing's ever really that bad. I remember an episode growing up of Gargoyles on the Disney Channel.
That's a great show.
There's an episode in season two about gun control.
Mm-hmm.
And the fat gargoyle likes to eat a lot, they have a detective cop friend that's a woman running around helping them out all the time. He finds her gun on the counter and he starts playing with it. And he's like, ka-pew, ka-pew, ka-pew. She walks in. He shoots her.
Oh, no.
He shoots her. And she has to go to the hospital the entire episode. She's on, like, life support. And then it's like, dude, don't be messing around with guns anymore, kids.
The episode is called Deadly Force.
It was devastating. And I'm like, But he just shot her.
There's a picture of her on the ground with blood.
Yeah. Yes. This was for children. This was for children. He shot her, dude.
Picture of the gargoyle with a gun.
Yeah. You do not see that anymore. And now I'm watching Paw Patrol, and these guys are running. The bad guy is really not that bad. He's like, You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to flatten your tires today, you. The good guys accidentally are shooting each other in the crap we grew up watching. And it's just, I mean, look at that. That's a kid's show, Angel.
As an adult female,
dead.
Bleeding on the floor.
Well, she didn't die. Spoiler alert, if you guys were going to go back and watch it, she was okay. And she forgave him, but they were not happy.
How could you? What do you tell the doctors? This gargoyle statue came to life and shot me. Ma'am, you might have bigger issues.
Wait a second. What's he doing messing with a gun? He doesn't have any questions about gargoyles or anything.
But did you learn?
Yeah, what did you learn? I don't remember that gargoyle's name. Big old dude. But it's a great show. I'm not knocking the show. I absolutely love that show.
It is on Disney Plus if you want to go check it out.
Pretty sure that was the episode that jumped the shark for him, man. It's like, wait, who's pitching that, by the way? You know what? We want to do an episode, and one of the gargoyles, like, accidentally shoots the detective. Yeah? You think kids will be good with that? Yeah, they got to learn somehow. Might as well see their hero shoot their other hero.
His name was Broadway.
Yeah, freaking Broadway.
He accidentally shot Alyssa. And he is a grief-stricken while Goliath and the police hunt for a gangster. They think it's the culprit.
Yeah, because he doesn't
so he tried to cover it up.
He doesn't tell the truth either. And they're trying to get, they're out like flying around trying to get this gangster. Meanwhile, Broadway's just like, I shot my friend. And then he finally comes forward at the end and they're like, it's okay. You know what? It's a dangerous gig. We're heroes. We run around, we do crazy things. 12:50 the time. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The Best Nuggets podcast is back at 1310kfk.com. A pickaxe to grind with Brady Hull and Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Ellison Hubbard, former CSU Ram, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Eastside Chris says, cartoons are educational. Learned from Wile E. Coyote my engineering skills. What does not work? Learned what doesn't work. He had some pretty good things, man. It's just, it was always the Murphy's Law thing with Wile E. Coyote.
I mean, you can walk on air as long as you don't look down.
Exactly.
The minute you look down.
Why do you look down, guys? You know, you're rolling along fine here, and then you just, that's it.
That painting on the cave wall may not be a painting.
No.
Could be a road to somewhere else.
And then it would work.
Yeah.
Like Roadrunner would go through it, and then Wile E would try to go through it, and it just was like, okay, come on. What's happening here? The universe is messing with him.
Meep.
Yeah. That was a good one. Got old, though. I mean.
Did it?
Yeah. It's like,
when does the coyote start questioning his purpose?
That was the thing in the 90s, too. Maybe even the 80s, was cat and mouse, Tom and Jerry. Like, that kind of stuff. Like, a character trying to catch another character. Mm-hmm. And they did a lot of those. You know, Tom and Jerry, Wile E. Coyote, and Roadrunner, like Sylvester and Tweety. I mean, that was the thing. And you knew it, you know, it was never going to get them. Just knew it was never going to happen. It was fun for a little bit. Got old. All right, in the final hour of the show, we'll have Jesse Kurtz join us from the Mountain West Network, lead anchor from the Mountain West Network. Talk about that Air Force Wyoming game. Air Force being ranked. How about that? What does this mean for Wyoming going forward? His thoughts on Colorado State and UNLV this weekend and so much more. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.